your name?
This is Ben Jealous, President and CEO of the NAACP.
You're the youngest president of the NAACP, and Ben Jealous. And it was striking to note that you said tonight at the Center for American Progress, a discussion, what's old is new again. We're going back to organizing. We're going back to lawyering.
That's exactly right. So we're going back to movement-building lawyering. You know, the reality is that civil rights lawyers are most powerful when they're able to make the case in the court of public opinion, when they have organizers working with them to make sure that the entire community understands the purpose of the case, the entire community shows up at the court, that the media is on their side. And so we really need more movement-building lawyers. But more than anything, we need more organizers. The challenges of this century, the really big challenges, are going to be one like the healthcare debate. They're going to be one through getting a majority, through getting a super majority, for changing the minds of congresspeople and senators and city council people. And that takes organizing. It takes communicating. It takes stitching people together, understanding where their self-interests meet, and pushing that to its absolute limits.
You didn't. It was interesting how you talked about both the court of law with regards to Troy Davis, a prisoner for 20 years on death row in Georgia, and the importance of the court of public opinion. And it goes back to the organizing. Can you talk about that case? And you talked also about how one case can really create freedom fighters.
You know, that's exactly right. The reality is, and you take the Troy Davis case, and we haven't had our ultimate victory. We had a huge victory last summer when, for the first time in half a century, the Supreme Court said, hey, a U.S. citizen who has a compelling case of their innocence, who's on death row, and that case has never been heard, has a right to have it heard, even if they've exhausted all their statutorily guaranteed appeals. The way we got there is that we actually made the case to the media and the public first, and we created a context in which it was acceptable for the court to step outside their norm. People need to understand that the Supreme Court is a political animal. I think we all learned that in our generation in 2000, right, when we saw an election stolen. And I learned that as a young organizer in Mississippi when the governor was trying to shut down a public historically black college and turn it into a prison. And I got down there to work with a lawyer who's working for Northern Mississippi Rural Legal Services. And I said, you know, what's my job description? He said, put the fear of God in the judge. And the reality is that you have to get the court to understand that they're making a moral decision, that they'll be judged on earth. And if they believe in God, they'll be judged in heaven, so that they can step out, if you will, from the cold book that we call the Constitution into it, the living document that it should be, and do what is right, and interpret the Constitution in the way that is in most accord with the intent of the founders, which was to make this country the greatest country, the freest country, the great bastion of liberty that we should be, but we aren't quite yet.
You mentioned that the NAACP is one of the most trusted progressive organizations, the third most recognized nonprofit, and here you stand at 100 years for the organization. And one of the major first campaigns was an anti-lynching campaign, which just is unbelievable. Just 100 years ago, people were being lynched.
Left and right.
Left and right, and the courage that it took to form this organization and what it's done over 100 years. Can you talk briefly about that?
What we do at the NAACP, how we succeed, is we dream bold dreams, we pursue them through pragmatic strategies, we manifest them through hard work, and we sustain ourselves through faith. That formula has worked for us for 101 years now. We just turned 101 a few weeks ago. And it's what we're teaching our children, because the reality is that the kids of today have big problems to overcome, have big dragons to slay, have big dreams to be made manifest. And so what's old is new again. We've got to teach them how to organize. We've got to teach them how to build movements. We've got to teach them how to look at a problem that's way bigger than they are, break it down to achievable steps, and, as I say down in Mississippi, slow walk that problem, just step by step by step till they win.
You mentioned NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Frederick Douglass's definition of colored people being that of four-fifths of humanity.
We're the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and a lot of folks get you to trip over different words. You know, the colored people at the time referred to people who weren't white. It's just that simple. People who were on the receiving end of colonialism, Frederick Douglass was very explicit. These people from Africa, from Asia, from Native America, from Latin America. That's what color people referred to. Advancement and association meant that this was a group of people who were down for, who were invested in lifting up four-fifths of humanity to a place where all of us would be equal. This is ultimately an organization that's dedicated to making this one nation, that's dedicated to the reality, to making manifest the reality that we all dream the same dream of freedom in this country. And so therefore, at the end of the day, we're not just fighting for the dignity of people of color, we're fighting for the dignity of white people, we're fighting for the dignity of humanity.
I saw you Sunday at the Immigration Reform March, but I wanted to finish on the note of prisons.
It's bankrupting our states. It's bankrupting our public higher education system. So in a state like California, UC tuition is going up 30% in the fall, and there's no way to explain that without acknowledging California is one of five states that spends more on incarceration than public higher education. That right now, that state is spending 12% of the state budget on incarceration. 25 years ago, it's been less than 5% on incarceration. 25 years ago, it's been about 12% on public higher education. Today, it's been less than 5% on public higher education. So literally, the prison budget has overwhelmed the public university budget in California. It's doing that in states across the country. We can't be the country that we want to be so long as we keep using prisons to solve every social problem. We got to get back to doing the hard work of saving lives, of investing in redemption, and believing that Americans are certainly no worse than every other person on earth. I don't know any American who believes that their neighbors are 5% more evil than the neighbors of the average person on earth, and yet we're 5% of the world's people and we're 25% of the world's prisoners. It's a sin and we can't afford it.
Thanks so much, Ben Jealous.
All right. Thank you.